thanks to the Lord.
Tunamshukuru Bwana.
We just want to pray for these requests.
Tungependa kuombea hizi hoja za maombi.
Please remember my son Victor, who is at home and not feeling well. This is brother, is it Maruki? Muriki.
This is brother Muriki.
And the other one, I think the pastor already mentioned it. Having a sister-in-law who is sick. Are suffering from cancer. God bless you, church. I had been suffering from back pain. Since last year, December, I visited hospital for checkup, and even they admitted me for further treatment.
Nilienda hospitali kuchunguzwa na hata na huko nikalazwa ili wanitibu zaidi.
And x-ray took for can't read this. Is it Discover?
Yeah.
For the problem, I was discharged and given the drugs to take on after.
Na picha ikapigwa ili watafute shida na nikaachiliwa na nikapewa madawa kuchukua nyumbani.
After a while I started again on January 2024. I visited again hospital for MRI, whereby they check X-ray and discovered that the bone doesn't have juice, means it is dry.
Now, kisha January pia nikarudi hospitali tena, nikapigwa picha na wakatambua kwamba mifupa haina vioevu, yani inamaanisha mifupa ilikuwa kavu.
I was given drugs again in the mentioned period of time.
And nikapewa dawa tena kwa muda fulani wa wakati.
But still it wasn't work by this moment when I had about this service of healthy. I said I must attend because of my situation is becoming worse.
Na niliposikia kuhusu mikutano nikasema lazima nihudhurie kwa maana hali yangu ilikuwa inazidi kuzorota.
Even now I can't sit on a chair without supporting my back.
Na hata sasa siwezi nikaketi kwa kiti bila kusaidia mgongo wangu.
Sister Seraphine.
Huyu ni dada Seraphine.
So all those who've given these requests, kindly raise your hands in the audience so that we pray with you. Alright, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. We read in the scriptures that one time there was a large crowd and a patient came.
Na tunasoma katika maandiko kwamba kulikuwa na halaiki ya watu alafu mgonjwa fulani akaja.
There was no room to make him go by the way of the door.
Hakukuwa na njia yote ya kumwezesha aweze kupitia mlangoni.
They opened the roof.
Wakabomoa paa.
And they let him down coming to the feet of Jesus.
Na wakamshusha moja kwa moja hadi miguuni pa Yesu.
Well, today we don't have to struggle.
Na leo sio lazima tungangane hivyo.
Because he is a faith, a breath away from us.
Kwa maana umbali wake na sisi ni imani yetu tu.
And there is still room at the feet of the Lord.
Bado kuna nafasi miguuni pa Bwana.
Those with prayer requests, just raise those hands as we pray with you.
Wale mlio na haja hizo za maombi, muinue mikono tukiomba nanyi.
Heavenly Father,
Baba wa mbinguni,
you are the great physician. And right now we call on that sweetest name on moto tongue.
Na sasa hivi tunaliita hilo jina lililo tamu zaidi katika midomo ya watu walio katika hali ya kufa.
In our singing we sing him as the sweetest note in our songs.
Na wakati tunapoimba tunamuimba yeye kama ile note iliyo tamu sana katika nyimbo zetu.
And that is because, Lord, we have seen him alive in our lives.
Kwa sababu sisi Bwana tumemuona akiwa hai maishani mwetu.
Dear Lord, we pray.
Na Bwana utupendaye tunaomba.
Over all these afflictions.
Juu ya maradhi haya yote.
May you deliver our brothers and sisters, that their joy may be complete. Take away all the excruciating pain. You, Lord, are the one who made the cartilages in the body, and you can do a miracle. That cancer, we pray for the patient. Let her not get afraid, because it's been moving through the family.
Na tunaombea huyo mgonjwa asiwe na hofu, kwa maana ati hiyo ugonjwa imekuwa ikitawala katika hiyo jamii.
Help our Lord to have the faith to break the cycle.
Hebu msaidie Bwana awe na imani ya kuvunja huo mtindo.
We've read about testimonies of cancer.
Tumesoma kuhusu ushuhuda wa kuhusu saratani.
May she be an addition to the statistics of healing.
Na yeye awe mmoja zaidi wa kuongezea kwa ushuhuda wa wale ambao waliopona.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Kwa jina la Yesu Kristo.
We pray for the other little child who hasn't been able to come because he's unwell. We pray for healing.
Na tunaombea huyo mtoto mwingine ambaye hajaweza kukuja hapa, tunaombea uponyaji.
We read in your word how, Lord, you could not turn back children, and we know you won't turn that little child who is sick.
Na Bwana tumesoma katika maandiko yako jinsi haukuwafukuza watoto, na tuna hakika kwamba Bwana hautamfukuza huyo akija kwako.
Now Lord, bless the reading of your word.
Na sasa Bwana bariki usomaji wa neno.
Today you can heal us. But we know another day we may get sick until the day we leave this world. So now our greater desire is for the healing of our souls, whatever ailments we have. May your word come and heal us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a mighty hand. All right, I want to share my last thoughts with you. We want to bring everything together. We want to speak the sum of the matter. And if we can give it a title, or a subtitle, because everything we're talking about, everything we've been talking about is about casting crowns. And we want to conclude it this morning. And we can call our concluding thought espoused to one husband. Or if you would like, oneness with the Lord. Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 to 20.
Tuende wa Korinto wa kwanza, sura ya 6, mstari wa 20.
I was asked in the morning, do you have strength to go for another service in the afternoon? I said, it's not about strength, it's about I have the last sermon now. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13.
Wa Korinto wa kwanza 6:13.
Meat for the belly and the belly for meat.
Vyakula ni kwa tumbo na tumbo ni kwa vyakula.
But God shall destroy both it and them.
Lakini Mungu atavitoesha vyote viwili.
Now the body is not for fornication.
Lakini mwili si kwa zinaa.
But for the Lord.
Bali ni kwa Bwana.
And the Lord for the body.
Naye Bwana ni kwa mwili.
Are you saying that it is expressing a marital language here?
Je, unaona kuwa inaelezea lugha ya wale walio katika ndoa?
And God has both raised up the Lord,
naye Mungu alimfufua Bwana,
and will also raise up us by his own power.
Na tena sisi atatufufua sisi kwa uweza wake.
Are you saying that what God did to Jesus, he has to do to us?
Je, unaona ya kwamba kile Mungu alimfanyia Yesu inampasa atufanyie sisi?
Remember, he was the firstborn among many brethren.
Kumbuka yeye alikuwa mzaliwa wa kwanza miongoni wa ndugu wengi.
Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?
Je, hamjui ya kwamba miili yenu ni viungo vya Kristo?
Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot?
Basi ni vitoe viungo vya Kristo na kuvifanya viungo vya kahaba?
God forbid.
La hasha.
What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body?
Au hamjui ya kuwa yeye aliyeungwa na kahaba ni mwili mmoja naye?
For two saith he shall be one flesh.
Maana yeye asema wale wawili watakuwa mwili mmoja.
But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
Lakini yeye aliyeungwa na Bwana ni roho mmoja naye.
Flee fornication.
Ikimbieni zinaa.
Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Kila dhambi itendayo mwanadamu ni nje ya mwili wake, ila yeye afanyaye zinaa hutenda dhambi juu ya mwili wake mwenyewe.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
Au hamjui ya kuwa miili yenu ni mwili wenu ni hekalu la Roho Mtakatifu aliye ndani yenu, mliyepewa na Mungu, wala ninyi si mali yenu wenyewe?
For ye are bought with a price.
Maana mlinunuliwa kwa thamani.
Therefore,
sasa basi,
glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Sasa basi mtukuzeni Mungu katika miili yenu na roho yenu, ambayo yote ni mali ya Mungu.
Heavenly Father, we bring every thought and imagination under the Lordship of Christ.
Baba mbinguni tunaleta kila wazo na kila fikira chini ya Bwana wa Yesu Kristo.
May you speak to us now.
Ukatunene sasa.
In Jesus name. Amen. You may be seated. Now you can see that ultimately,
kwa hivyo unaona ya kwamba hatimaye,
our journey of faith should take us to a place of complete oneness with Christ.
Safari yetu ya imani inafaa tufikishe katika kituo ambacho katika kituo hicho sisi ni moja na Kristo.
We can see in this,
tunaweza tukaona katika hili,
that free will was a test.
Kwamba hiyo hiari ilikuwa jaribu.
Because we are not our own.
Kwa sababu sisi sio mali yetu wenyewe.
Is that right?
Yeah, ni hivyo.
You know, one day John saw a vision.
Unajua siku moja Yohana aliona ono.
He says he saw the dead.
Anasema aliona wafu.
Both small and great.
Wadogo kwa wakubwa.
Coming up.
Wakiinuka.
Let us go to the book of Revelation.
Twende katika Ufunuo.
Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now when it says small and great, it does not mean big people and babies, no. It means people who were great in the world, presidents, kings, and others who seemed insignificant. This time when they came up from death, they were all the same before God. And the books were opened.
tisa vitabu vikafunguliwa.
And another book was opened.
Na kitabu kingine kikafunguliwa.
How many sets of books?
Yani ni vitabu ngapi?
There is one.
Kuna moja.
Called the Book of Life.
Kuna moja itwayo kitabu cha uzima.
Is that right?
Yani sawa.
Now remember, we've been speaking about the tree of life.
Na kumbukeni tumekuwa tukinena kuhusu mti wa uzima.
What was the other category?
Na hiyo nyingine ilikuwa nini? Ilikuwa vitabu.
Books.
Ilikuwa vitabu tu.
And the books were opened.
Na vitabu vikafunguliwa.
And another book was opened.
Na kitabu kingine kikafunguliwa.
Which is the book of?
Ambacho ni kitabu cha uzima.
Notice, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the
na hao wafu wakahukumiwa kwa mambo haya yaliandikwa katika vile vitabu.
They were judged out of what was written in the books.
Walihukumiwa kwa yale yaliandikwa kwa kwenye vitabu.
Which were written in the books according to their
works. Sawa sawa na matendo yao.
According to their works. Is that right?
Sawa sawa na matendo yao.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their
bahari ikatoa wafu waliokuwamo ndani yake, na mauti na kuzimu zikatoa wafu waliokuwamo ndani yake, wakahukumiwa kila mtu kwa kadri ya matendo yake.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Mauti na kuzimu zikatupwa kwa lile ziwa la moto. La moto, hii ndio mauti ya pili.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life,
na yote alipatikana hakuandikwa kwenye kitabu cha uzima,
was cast into the lake of fire.
Alitupwa katika lile ziwa la moto.
Praise the Lord.
Bwana asifiwe.
When I was young,
nilipokuwa mdogo,
I used to think,
nilikuwa nafikiria,
when I give my life to God,
nikimpa Mungu maisha yangu,
there is a clerical department in heaven.
Kuna sehemu huko mbinguni ya kuandika kama secretary. Kuna mtu anaandika majina huko juu.
And they write a name in that big book.
Alafu huyo sahihi nikiokoka anaandika jina yangu kwa hiyo kitabu kubwa.
And when you sin,
alafu ukitenda dhambi,
they take a special rubber.
Wanachukua kifutio maalum.
They rub off your name.
Wanafuta hiyo jina yako.
Heaven has no papers.
Lakini mbinguni hakuna makaratasi.
Why do we write things as human beings?
Mbona sisi kama wanadamu tunaandika vitu?
To aid our memory.
Ili kusaidia kumbukumbu letu.
You really think God forgets?
Je, unafikiria Mungu sahau?
For him to need Gabriel to say, okay, that one has repented, write his name now.
Yani anasahau mpaka anahitaji Gabriel amsaidie, mwambie Gabriel huyo ametubu sasa andika jina yake sahihi.
Or maybe they use old technology. Do they write with paper or they use technology?
Labda wanatumia teknolojia sasa.
How exactly are the names of people written?
Je, ni vipi hasa majina ya watu huandikwa mle?
If they're using books and pen, it means we are more advanced. We are using computers, right?
Kama wanatumia kalamu na kitabu, inamaanisha sisi tuko na maendeleo zaidi kwa maana tunatumia tarakilishi.
No, the book of Revelation is a book of symbols.
Lakini sio hivyo. Kitabu cha Ufunuo ni kitabu cha mifano.
God does not need something written for him to remember.
Mungu hahitaji kitu kiandikwe ili akumbuke.
From the time of Adam to this day, he hasn't forgotten any person who's ever lived on this planet. But remember what was written of Jesus in the volume of books. It is written of me. To do what? To do thy will.
Katika gombo la chuo imeandikwa habari zangu, kufanya nini? Kufanya mapenzi yako.
Who was Jesus?
Yesu alikuwa nani?
The word of God made flesh.
Neno la Mungu likifanyika mwili.
When you saw him walking, it was the word walking.
Ukimwona akitembea ilikuwa ni neno anatembea.
He was the expression of the mind of God.
Yeye alikuwa dhihirisho ya nia ya Mungu.
Is that right? And what does Paul say?
Na Paulo anasema nini?
You are epistles.
Nyinyi ni nyaraka.
To be read of all men, right?
Kusomwa na kila mtu.
Is that so?
Ndio.
You are living epistles.
Yaani nyinyi ni barua ambayo iko hai.
Now look here, when you come in life,
kwa hivyo hebu tazama hapa, ukiingia katika maisha,
God gives you the ink of life.
Mungu anakupa wino ya uzima.
And he gives you pages of time.
Na anakupa kurasa za wakati.
For you to write a story.
Ili wewe uandike hadithi.
That's right.
But it's a test.
Lakini hata hivyo ni mtihani.
It's like you've come in an exam room.
Ni kama umeingia katika chumba cha mtihani.
As you enter,
ukiingia,
they give you a pen.
Wanakupa kalamu.
They give you a book.
Na wanakupa karatasi ya kuandikia.
If you're not wise,
kama wewe sio mwenye hekima,
you open the blank book and start writing a story.
Utachukua hiyo karatasi ambayo umepewa na kuanza kuandika hadithi.
What story are you writing?
Na unaandika hadithi ya nini?
The pen is not yours.
Kalamu sio yako.
The book is not yours.
Kitabu sio yako.
A wise person will ask, what am I supposed to write?
Mwenye hekima atauliza, ninafaa niandike nini?
But in this great examination room called the world,
lakini katika hii chumba cha kutahiniwa ambaye inaitwa ulimwengu,
people have written interesting stories.
Watu wameandika hadithi za kuvutia.
Stories of success.
Yani hadithi za fanaka.
Stories of making it in life.
Na stories za kufanikiwa katika maisha.
There are so many books here.
Kuna vitabu vingi hapa.
Others are 50 chapters.
Zingine zimepita sura 50.
Others maybe they are 60 chapters.
Zingine labda sura 60.
Others they still have very few stories, very young. You know they
wengine wako na hadithi.
They can run up and down little children.
Ni wachanga bado wanaweza kukimbia juu na chini, ni watoto.
What story are you writing?
Ni hadithi gani unaandika?
Is it a book which can be opened in public?
Yeah, ni kitabu ambayo inaweza kufunguka mbele ya watu.
If some books were opened here, you'll be the first one to run away. Kama you, the author.
Kama vitabu vingine vitafunguliwa hapa, wewe ndio ungekuwa kwanza kutoroka. Wewe mwenyewe mwenye uliandika.
But hey,
lakini
the owner of the pages and the owner of the ink of life, he sees every chapter, every stroke, every character you are putting in there.
Mwenye hiyo kurasa na mwenye kalamu anaona kila andishi na kila nukta na kila doa ambayo umeweka mle ndani.
Many have written interesting stories of charity.
Na wengi wameandika hadithi tamu za kupeana.
The good works they've done.
Na makazi nzuri ambazo wamefanya.
And when you read them you say, wow, na, great book.
Na ukisoma hiyo hadithi yao unasema, wow, hii ni.
But as long as you are writing your own story, you are writing your own book.
Lakini hata hivyo, mradi unaandika hadithi yako, wewe unaandika kitabu chako.
But many years ago I made a decision in my life.
Lakini miaka mingi iliyopita nikafanya uamuzi.
I said, Lord, it's your ink.
Nikasema, Bwana, ni wino yako.
The life that is in me is your ink.
Yaani maisha ninayo ni wino yako.
The pages.
Kurasa.
I don't even know how many pages have been allocated to me.
Hata sijui nimepewa kurasa ngapi.
Pages of time?
Hii kurasa za wakati.
You can't buy.
Huwezi ukanunua.
Anyone was already booked Tuesday?
Nani hapa tayari asha book?
Anyone was already booked Wednesday here? You.
Au kuna mtu yeyote ambaye.
It's already in your ownership.
Ashapanga Jumatano kwa sababu ni yake, ameimiliki.
No one owns time.
Hakuna yeyote anayemiliki.
But every day you wake up, you are writing a story.
Lakini kila siku unaamka unaandika hadithi.
Amen.
On the pages of time.
Katika kurasa za wakati.
But hey, I made a decision.
Lakini nikafanya uamuzi.
The ink is not mine.
Wino sio yangu.
The pages are not mine.
Kurasa sio zangu.
Lord,
Bwana,
burn the book I've written so far.
Hebu choma hiyo kitabu ambayo mimi nimeandika kufikia hapa.
Throw it away.
Hebu itupe.
I want my life to be hidden.
Amen.
In the book of life.
Nataka maisha yangu ifichwe kwenye kitabu cha uzima.
Amen.
I want to play the script of the book of life.
Ningependa kucheza hiyo mchezo ambayo imeandikwa katika kitabu cha uzima.
Like Jesus.
Kama Yesu.
Like Paul.
kama Paulo,
I want to say it is no longer I that liveth.
Nataka kusema sio mimi ambaye ninaishi.
I want the hand of God to write a story on the pages of time. His hand, not my hand.
Nataka mkono wa Mungu uandike hadithi yake katika kurasa za wakati. Mkono wake sio wangu.
And all whose lives are hidden with Christ in God.
Na wote ambao maisha yao yamefichwa ndani ya Kristo ndani ya Mungu.
When you die,
ukifa,
when you go through the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
ukipitia ile ubatizo wa Roho Mtakatifu,
it is the hand of God. You become the pen and God begins to write a story.
Yeah, inafanyika mkono wa Mungu au inafanyika kalamu na yeye anaanza kuandika hadithi.
And God bless you for being in this service.
Na Mungu akubariki kwa kuwa katika ibada.
One day in eternity this will play back.
Na kwa maana siku moja katika umilele hii itarejelewa.
And the question will be,
na swali itakuwa,
were you in the ink of God?
Yeah, wewe ulikuwa katika wino ya Mungu.
Or you were busy writing your own story out there.
Au wewe ulikuwa unashughulika ukiandika hadithi yako mle.
Now here is the beauty of it.
Lakini hapa kuna uzuri wake.
One day,
siku moja,
your book closes.
Kitabu chako kinafungwa.
For those who love their books, they don't want to be in the book of life.
Yeah, wale ambao wanapenda vitabu vyao na hawataki viwe katika kitabu.
Your book will close.
Kitabu chako kitafungwa.
And when a book closes, you put it in the shelf.
Na kitabu kikifungwa unaiweka kwenye shelf.
People bury you and put you in the shelf of the grave.
Na watu watakuzika na watakuhifadhi kwenye shelf ambayo
the interesting thing is you don't know when your book will close. You don't know that.
Na kitu ya kushangaza ni kwamba hujui kitabu chako kitafungwa lini.
When the chief examiner says time up.
Wakati yule mtahini mkuu atasema wakati wako umekwisha.
There's nothing like okay, one more. I'm still writing something. No, time up.
Hakuna kitu kama kusema tafadhali nipatie dakika moja bado kuna kitu najaribu kuandika. Hapana, ni muda umekwisha.
And that will be the last stroke you put on the last page.
Na hiyo ndio itakuwa nukta ya mwisho ambayo utaweka kwa kurasa ya mwisho.
The covers will close, you'll be packed away.
Na vifuniko vitafungwa na wewe utatolewa.
That's not the end of the story.
Na hiyo sio mwisho wa hadithi.
A day is coming when all the books shall be opened.
Kwa maana kuna siku inakuja ambayo vitabu vyote vitafungwa.
John looked and he saw, he says, and the books were opened. And every man was judged according to how he lived. The Lord Jesus even said, be careful of the words you speak. For you shall be judged by every idle word that proceeds out of your mouth.
Yes.
But let me tell you the good news. When you decide to live by the tree of life, when you go through the baptism of fire, your book gets burnt up. And you become born again. Your life becomes what the book of life says.
Amen.
Whatever you do, you want to seek the will of God. Therefore, because your book is not here, you can't participate in this judgment.
Amen.
That judgment is for the books. People who wrote their own stories. Where will you be? You will be the one God will be using to judge these books. Why? You are part of the book of life. That is why Paul said, don't you know you will judge the world? Don't you know you will judge the angels? Amen.
Amen.
It will be the king with his queen
na malkia wake
judging the world. Therefore, those who have believed, they have passed from death to they can't be judged because they've already been judged. The Bible says the judgment of God begins in the house of God. That is why a church gathering should never be a time to play around. This is a judgment house.
good for you to receive the judgment now.
Yes.
And you adjust your life accordingly. So never bring entertainment in the church. Let the word be preached in all clarity. If a brother is walking disorderly, he has two characters. One leg wants to be in the world, another leg in the church. Preachermen, let's not mince our words. This is the house of God. Remember the sin of Achan. It made Israelites fail in battle. One weakest link in the church affects the body of Christ. Don't just say, oh, did you see the hairstyle that sister has? Go to her. Sister, what does the word of God say on this? If she is filled with the Holy Spirit, she won't be offended. The problem we have is carnality in the church. We come to church to hear what we like to hear. If we are serious about this, and the word comes, it hits you, you say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, search my heart. I remember back in the years when I was coming to the Lord, when I heard a preaching which convicted my wrong, the next day I'll be in the mountains praying and crying before the Lord. But today we have hybrid chickens. We have broiler chickens. When they come to church, when a hard point strikes a certain brother, very easy to say, praise the Lord, amen. Because it has hit someone, you know. When it strikes you, you are offended. I know he was talking about me. So whom do you want me to talk about if I know you did the wrong thing? This is a courthouse. It's a house of judgment. Everyone included, including me preaching, I am here to be checked by the Lord.
Amen.
We come here to cry and seek the will of God. If it is time to rejoice, let us rejoice. If a wrong thing has been committed, fornication or any filthy thing, it's time to cry. It's time to be on our knees. And let the rebuke be done in love. To win him who's lost the way. And hear me. If one is losing the way, one's behavior is not right. Don't just say, oh, brother Piri told us to be bored. Let me speak to him. It's a spiritual matter. Go in prayer. Lord, help my sister. Allow the Lord first to do the work on that person. Take it in fasting if it's possible. Wait for the leading of the Lord. If you have a true, sincere concern from God, God will create a situation which will correct that person. If you do it out of competition, confusion of who is holy and who is doing it right, it will just throw in more confusion.
Kama utaifanya katika roho ya kushindana ili kuonyesha ati nani ni mtakatifu, italeta chafuko zaidi.
We are on a journey.
Tuko katika safari.
To become one with this book.
Tufanyike moja na kitabu hiki cha uzima.
If you are to judge the world,
kama ya kupasa uhukumu ulimwengu,
God will judge the world using the word.
Mungu atahukumu ulimwengu kutumia neno lake.
Do you know why Jesus will be appointed as the King of all kings to judge the world? It is because Jesus became one with God. He became a complete manifestation of the will of God. So when we reach a point, we realize that what the scripture here said, Paul is saying, don't you know you are not your own? 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19, let us all read it. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I want us all to read it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? We're not our own. The pages are not mine. The ink is not mine. So I don't want to write my own story. I want to be one with my husband, who is the king. But there is a great danger. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. Remember, the theme we are talking about, espoused to one husband. Now, I want you to think about this. Suppose I ask the sister, I say, introduce yourself. And then introducing herself, she says, I am Nora Piri.
Mimi ni Nora Piri.
I am a wife of one husband.
Mimi ni mke wa mume mmoja.
What is wrong with that introduction?
Kuna shida gani na hiyo kujitambulisha?
Why are you mentioning one husband as though others have two husbands, right? It will be an awkward introduction, right? One will just say, oh, I'm not a Piri and my husband is Mr. Piri, right? Now if she says, okay, I'm not a Piri and I'm a wife of one husband only.
Na akisema kwamba mimi ni Nora Pili na ni mke wa mume mmoja pekee.
Even if she's a stranger to you, you will know that in her speech she is emphasizing something.
Hata kama yeye ni mgeni kwako, utajua katika kunena kwake kuna kitu anasisitiza.
Now look at the awkward statement you read in 2 Corinthians 11.
Ebu angalia hii tamshi ambayo unasoma katika Wakorintho wa pili
11 verse 2 to 3. Shall we read?
Yes.
For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Paul says, I've espoused you to one husband. But a time will come when you need to be presented as a wife to him. But I have fear. I have what?
Fear.
That something will happen between here and there.
Kuna kitu ambaye kitu kibaya kitafanyika katikati ya hapa kuposwa na hapa ku.
My desire is by the time you are getting married, you just be married to one husband.
Na mimi shauku langu ni kwamba ikifika wakati unaolewa uolewe tu kwa mume mmoja.
I don't want any man to come in between here to spoil your things.
Sitaki mume mwingine yote aingie hapa katikati aharibu mambo.
I have espoused you to
one
husband.
Kuposea mume mmoja.
The question I'm asking is, why are you emphasizing one husband, Brother Paul? Why did he not say, I've espoused you to a husband? That's a more normal figure of speech. I've espoused you to a husband. You can't be telling a bride who is not married to say, please. As you get engaged, be engaged only to one man. It means you are expressing fear that the bride can end up with two husbands. It gets worse as you go in verse 3. Shall we read? But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Lakini nachelea kama yule nyoka alivyomdanganya Hawa kwa hila yake, asije akawaribu fikra zenyu mkauacha unyofu na usafi wa Kristo.
How does Paul move from speaking something about marriage?
Mbona Paulo anatoka katika kunena jambo kuhusu ndoa?
I've espoused you to one husband, Jesus Christ.
Nimewaposea mume mmoja Bwana Yesu Kristo.
But I'm afraid.
Lakini naogopa.
What happened to Eve?
Ile ambayo ilifanyikia Hawa.
What happened to you?
Itawafanyikia nini?
Now there are people who believe the original sin was eating a fruit, a physical fruit, like a guava or a mango or something. When a person is speaking or giving an example, examples should be within context. Correct? Imagine I'm training young men in sports for running. Every morning I run with them so that they win the competition. Then I say, you know what, I would love for you to be running fast. As fast as a flitter. As fast as a flitter. You know flitter?
Mbio kama
flitter. Already the way you are confused, it shows you it's a wrong illustration. You know, you know a flitter is this pouch of flour which you throw in cooking oil so that, you know, it becomes like a bun or a scone. You know a scone? Hello?
Yes.
A scone.
Yeah.
I want you to be running as fast as a scone.
Nataka ukimbie mbio kama hiyo mkate.
How, what's the similarity between speed and this piece of thing to eat? That would be nonsense. But suppose I say, you guys, can we train more? I want you to be like cheetahs. Is it making sense?
Yes.
Why is it making sense?
Fast runner.
A cheetah is a fast runner. It's a fastest animal. So my figure of speech is now making sense, right? Let's come to Paul. He says, I've espoused you to one husband. But I'm afraid what happened to Eve may happen to you. That raises my curiosity. What happened to Eve? What happened to Eve? And he says, I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety.
Lakini nachelea kama yule nyoka alivyomdanganya hao kwa hila yake.
Subtlety comes from the word subtle,
Yani hiyo hila utokana na hiyo neno utokana na ujanja.
Let's look at the etymology of that term. The English expression of it actually is taken from the Latin word subtilis.
Yani hii neno katika Kiingereza subtil inatokana na neno la Kilatini ambaye ni subtilis.
And I love what it means in Latin.
Na napenda inayomaanisha katika Latin.
It means finely woven.
Inamaanisha kitu ambayo imetengenezwa vizuri.
It also means close to.
Kitu ambayo imekaribia.
Finely woven,
yani kitu ambayo imetengenezwa vizuri.
It's like a piece of cloth here.
Ni kama nguo mahali fulani hapa.
Maybe there is a different material, but it has been well mended with it that you can't see the difference.
Yani ni kana kwamba kuna bidhaa aina mbili ya kutengeneza nguo, lakini zimeshikanishwa vizuri pamoja mpaka huwezi kutofautisha.
When you look at a distance, you think it's just one piece
of
material.
Kwa umbali utafikiria ni bidhaa ya aina moja.
When you inspect closely, that's when you see that there's actually a different material in there.
Lakini ukichunguza kwa karibu zaidi ndio utagundua kwamba hapa kuna bidhaa aina tofauti.
For that to happen, it means the two things are very closely looking together.
Na ndio hii ifanyike inamaanisha vitu hivyo viwili ngani tofauti viko kwa kufanana vimekaribia kufanana sana.
Close to is very simple to understand.
Na hiyo pia kukaribia hiyo ni rahisi kuielewa.
It means something is very close.
Inamaanisha kitu
until well, it's very easy for it to deceive your senses.
Hii kitu imefanana kitu kingine mpaka inaweza ikakudanganya, unaweza ukadanganyika.
Now, back to the Genesis story.
Na sasa tuende katika ile hadithi ya mwanzo.
When you look at Genesis chapter 1,
ukianza mwanzo mmoja,
you see how God emphasized everything to reproduce after its own.
Unaona Mungu akisisitiza kila kitu izae aina yake.
In chapter 2,
katika sura ya 2,
everything else was created as a pair, male and female, male and female, male and female.
Kila kitu kingine kiliumbwa kama wawili wawili, ya kiume kike, kiume kike, kiume.
Only Adam was created as a single pair.
Lakini Adamu pekee ndiye aliumbwa mmoja.
God has a purpose in everything he does.
Mungu ako na kusudi kwa kila jambo ambalo anafanya.
Do you think he had forgotten to make the woman?
Je, unafikiria ati alikuwa amesahau kumuumba mwanamke?
I forgot. I think
jamani,
he has no woman.
Amesahau. Hakuna mwanamke.
I've run out of clay. Let me pull one from him. You think that was the drama?
Udongo ambaye imeisha hiyo nilikuwa nikitumia imeisha. Wacha nimtoe kutoka ndani ya huyo mtu. Unafikiria ilikuwa hivyo?
There was a good purpose why Adam had to be made alone first.
Kuna kusudi nzuri ya kuonyesha kwa nini Adamu aliumbwa peke yake kwanza.
It was to emphasize,
ilikuwa kusisitiza,
to mankind,
kwa mwanadamu,
you are different from all these kinds.
Kwamba wewe uko tofauti na aina hizi zingine zote wanyama.
Adam was never to make a mistake to pick a mate.
Na Adamu hakupaswa kufanya hiyo kosa ya kuchagua mwenzi
from any other creature.
Kutoka kwa wanyama wengine wote.
Now all the other animals, they couldn't match with his genetics.
Na wanyama wengine wote hawakuwa na chembechembe zinazoambatana na yeye.
But there was one which was very close to humanity.
Lakini kulikuwa na mmoja ambaye alikuwa amekaribia sana binadamu.
Look at how God makes him name the animals.
Na hebu tazama jinsi Mungu anampa kazi ya kupeana majina kwa wanyama.
God was bringing the animals before him.
Mungu alikuwa akileta wanyama mbele yake.
When you read Genesis 2,
ukisoma Mwanzo 2,
18,
mstari wa 18,
and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him.
Bwana Mungu akasema si vyema huyo mtu awe peke yake, nitamfanyia msaidizi wa kufanana naye.
And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field.
Bwana Mungu akafanyiza kutoka katika ardhi kila mnyama wa msituni.
And every fowl of the air.
Na kila ndege wa angani.
And brought them unto Adam.
Akamletea Adam.
For what purpose?
Kwa kusudi gani?
Hello?
To
what he would.
Ili aone atawaitaje.
So God is there. What will he call them? This is a cow. The way he named them, it showed he knew this is not my kind. But when Mr. Serpent came, like I told you on the first day, good morning, sir. It's able to speak. The Bible says the serpent was the most intelligent beast of all the animals. Now hear me, there was a reason for that. God created man to manage the garden. Adam was a boss, he was a son of God. He needed a creature strong enough to work. A creature he could send and it will hear and understand. Many times we think Eden was like a cartoon world. If Adam eats a banana,
Adam akikula ndizi,
he throws the cover.
Anatupa hiyo maganda.
What kind of a garden will it be if there's no worker around?
Itakuwa bustani aina gani kama hakuna mfanyakazi?
There was need for order, right?
Bado kulikuwa na hitaji ya kuwa na taratibu mle.
There was need to put things in place.
Kulikuwa na hitaji ya kuweka kila kitu pale pake panapofaa.
The serpent was important for that role.
Na nyoka alikuwa muhimu kwa hiyo kazi.
God gave it the ability to listen and hear.
Na Mungu akampa uwezo wa kuweza kusikia na kuelewa.
If Adam wants cows to go a certain place,
na Adamu akitaka ng'ombe waende pale fulani,
the serpent is an animal but it has an ability to hear. It can communicate with human beings, it can communicate with the animal world. It was an upright creature. The serpent was not a snake. It is the serpent which became a snake. When you read Genesis 3, it was able to speak to a woman. When you read Genesis 3, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. That means it was even far better looking than the chimpanzee, which is today the closest thing to a human being. And he said unto the woman, it was able to speak, it had vocal cords. Not only that, it was able to reason. It was able to say, did God say this and that? That was the serpent. The other time, my wife had an experience. She woke up terrified at the experience she had. Mom, would you care to share? Not ready. She's a very shy girl.
But
for the sake of the assembly, just try to describe what you saw in the dream. You can give her the mic.
I had this dream about 5 years ago. But it's one of those dreams that still stick in my mind. I dreamt I was in the garden.
Niliota kwamba nilikuwa kwenye bustani.
But not at the garden.
Lakini sikuwa sehemu ya hiyo bustani.
Sometimes
lakini kumbuka ndoto zingine ni ngumu sana kuelezea kile alivyokuwa.
I feel a presence
on my left side.
Ningehisi uwepo upande wangu wa kushoto.
But like I was not allowed to see.
Yani kana kwamba kuna kitu lakini sikuwa naruhusiwa kuiona.
Then all of a sudden I heard a sound.
Na ghafla nikasikia sauti.
Like something had fallen.
Kana kwamba kitu imeanguka kwenye mchanga.
When I looked,
nikitazama,
there was a creature like a human being.
Kulikuwa na kiumbe anayefanana na mwanadamu.
It was transforming.
Transforming.
Na ilikuwa ikibadilishwa.
I could tell that it had like human features.
Ningeweza kuona kwamba ilikuwa na viungo vinavyofanana na mwanadamu. Kwa sababu ya jinsi kifua yake ilikuwa inafanana.
And then it was screaming. It was like whatever was happening to it, it was in pain.
Na ilikuwa ikipiga duru kwa maana kitu ambacho ilikuwa ikifanyikia ilisababishia uchungu.
I saw the ears going in.
Nikaona masikio yake ikiingia ndani.
It was quite a bit huge.
Ilikuwa kubwa, hiyo kiume ilikuwa kubwa.
And it was trying to fight this process that was happening within itself.
Na hii ilikuwa ikijaribu kung'ang'ana na hiyo badiliko ambayo ilikuwa ikiendelea ndani yake.
I can't put really words in how it did this transformation. Look like liquid. I can't really explain it. The way oil looks like.
Na siwezi nikaelezea hasa vile, lakini unajua vile mafuta inafanana.
A bit dark, like charcoal gray, I can't really explain, but it was screaming and screaming.
Karibu nyeusi hivi au kijivujivu, lakini ilikuwa ikitoa mayowe na kutoa mayowe.
And that's how I woke up.
Na hivyo ndio nikaamka.
Thank you.
Asante.
When she woke up,
alipoamka,
confused about the experience she had,
akishangaa kuhusu hii tukio ambayo imetokea.
I told her, you saw Mr. Sibet.
Nikamwambia ulimuona bwana nyoka.
The judgment was painful.
Hiyo hukumu ilikuwa ya uchungu.
You understand that?
Unaelewa hiyo?
When the serpent sinned,
wakati nyoka alitenda dhambi.
Now see what the devil picked on.
Hebu angalia ile shetani alichagua.
He didn't pick a cow.
Hakuchagua ng'ombe.
He picked on something which was very close.
Alichagua kitu ambacho ilikuwa imekaribia sana.
It could speak like a human being.
Ingenena kama mwanadamu.
It could easily be woven into human communication, na interactions.
Ingeweza tu kuingiana tu kwa urahisi katika mawasiliano na katika kutangamana na watu.
When something can easily interweave,
kama kitu inaweza ikatangamana kwa urahisi,
it will be very difficult to get rid of it.
Ni ngumu sana kukiondoa.
It will be very difficult to draw a line.
Itakuwa ngumu kupiga mstari.
But the serpent was meant to be a servant.
Lakini huyo nyoka aliumbwa ili awe mfanyakazi.
Do you notice it started the conversation with a woman, not Adam?
Na unajua kwamba ni unaangalia kwamba ni yeye ndio alianza kuongea na mwanamke, sio Adam.
This was not a one day conversation.
Hii haikuwa maongeo ya siku moja tu.
There is an opportunity it took a hold of.
Kuna fursa ambayo hiyo nyoka ilichukua.
Started conversing with a woman.
Alianza kuongea na mwanamke.
There should be a difference in the way a master relates with a servant.
Kuna paswa kwenda tofauti jinsi ambaye bosi anahusika, bwana anahusika na mfanyakazi wake.
If they don't know, they don't draw the line.
Wasipopiga mstari, wasipokuwa na mipaka.
On day one, the servant will be like, okay, where is the shovel? I need to work.
Na siku ya kwanza huyo mfanyakazi atauliza, iko wapi hiyo kijiko, nataka nifanye kazi.
But if the master and the servant start laughing together, drinking together,
lakini huyo bwana na mfanyakazi wake wakianza kucheka pamoja,
another day
pamoja, siku hiyo nyingine,
it will be the servant who tell the master, could you pass on that shovel?
Siku hiyo nyingine itakuwa huyo mfanyakazi ndio ataambia bwana wake, hebu nipatie hiyo kijiko.
You hear that?
Yeah.
And listen to what Solomon said about master-servant relationship. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5.
Na usikie chenye Sulemani alisema kuhusu hiyo uhusiano. Mhubiri 10 mstari wa 5.
Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5.
Mhubiri 10:5.
Shall we read? There is an evil which I have seen as an error which proceedeth from the error is proceeding from who? The person who is in a position of authority.
Yule ambaye aliye katika sehemu ya mamlaka, aliye katika kiti cha mamlaka.
What is the evil he saw?
Hiyo baya ni nini aliyoiona?
Folly is set in great dignity and the rich sit in low place.
Yakuwa upumbavu huwekwa mahali pa juu sana nao wakwasi hukaa mahali pa chini.
When you read it in other versions,
ukisoma katika aina zingine,
it says I have seen wrong things done where a ruler appoints people.
Akasema nimeona makosa inafanyika pale ambapo mtawala anachagua watu
who have low dignity,
ambao hawana heshima, hawana heshima ya juu.
They don't have competence,
ambao hawawezi wakafanya kazi.
And they are put in positions which are higher.
Nao wanawekwa katika cheo vyeo vya juu.
And those who have complete no understanding of things,
alafu wale ambao hawana kuelewa chochote,
they are put in position of authority. Those who are competent, they are put in low positions.
Alafu wale wenye wanaweza kufanya kazi wanawekwa katika vyeo vya chini.
I think such things still happen in our time.
Na mimi vitu kama hivyo hufanyika wakati huu.
Where you have people who are very competent,
pale ambapo unapata mtu anaweza kachapa kazi.
Maybe because they are not well connected.
Lakini kwa sababu hawajuani sana na watu wengi,
they find themselves at the bottom of the radar in an organization. Then maybe one has a relative or something like that. They find themselves ruling those.
Alafu mmoja ambaye labda ako na watu wa ukoo kwa hiyo kampuni, yeye ako katika hali ambaye yeye ndio anatawala wale.
Do you sometimes have such situations here?
No, si umepitia hali hizo huku?
Solomon said, that's a serious error. He says, I have seen servants upon horses. Let's read verse 7. I have seen upon and princes. And he calls this, it's an error. But you see,
lakini unaona,
that servant who is riding a horse,
huyo mtumwa ambaye anaendesha farasi,
it's the ruler,
ni mtawala,
who has put him there.
Ndiye amemweka.
But it's an error.
Lakini ni kosa.
You are a human being.
Wewe ni binadamu.
You have choice.
Uko na kuchagua.
You have free will.
Uko na hiari.
Now,
lakini sasa,
in you is a spirit which came from God.
Ndani yako kuna roho iliyotoka kwa Mungu.
It thirsts and it hungers after spiritual things.
Na hiyo inaona njaa na kiu ya vitu vya kiroho.
It should be the one to control and rule over the servant of the flesh, the body.
Na hiyo inapaswa itawale huyu mtumwa, huyu mfanyakazi ambaye ndiye mwili.
However,
hata hivyo,
what happens?
Nini ufanyika?
You who is supposed to be the ruler,
wewe ambaye unapaswa kuwa mtawala,
you've allowed the servant to rule over your spiritual appetite.
Umeruhusu huyu mtumwa au mfanyakazi aweze kutawala juu ya hamu ya roho yako.
And that is a serious error.
Na hiyo ni kosa kubwa sana.
But you see, the flesh,
lakini ukiona mwili,
does not start its works anyhow.
Haianzi kazi zake hivyo kwa vyovyote vile.
There are people who say, well, I've tried to overcome, but this sin always overpowers me.
Kuna watu ambao wanasema nimejaribu kushinda, lakini kila wakati hii dhambi inanishinda.
That's not true.
Hiyo sio kweli.
Your flesh, it draws its strength from what you allow it to do.
Mwili wako inapata nguvu kwa kile unachokiruhusu kifanye.
Where you allow it to be.
Na bali unairuhusu iwe.
The strength, the flesh can never have strength which it was not given.
Na yani mwili haiwezi ikawa na nguvu ambayo haukuipea.
Look at the conversation between Eve and the serpent.
Hebu tazama hiyo mazungumzo kati ya Hawa na nyoka.
The woman was supposed to see that the conversation I'm having with the serpent, it has crossed the line.
Huyu mwanamke alipaswa kuona kwamba hii mazungumzo ambayo tunaongea na nyoka imepita mipaka.
He's not supposed to be with me. But you see what happened? The serpent became finally woven into conversations with Eve. That is subtlety. It became very close. When two people are close, their conversations will later on become intimate. Is that right?
Yes.
If a married man, like I said the other day, is getting close to a woman every time they're together, that will spark certain conversations which are not right. Before you realize it, you've invited temptations which were not supposed to be there. And you start saying, pray for me that I can be strong. What do you mean? Certain things follow principles of nature. The answer is not you going in fasting. The answer is move out of a wrong environment. Eve was supposed to give the serpent a big slap. She was supposed to tell Adam, come listen to what he's saying. But the fact that the conversation went on, it means although she said, God told us not to touch it, there was a place in her heart entertaining the words the serpent was speaking. And the devil, he knows when you know actually is a silent yes. He knows that. Praise the Lord. That interaction was not supposed to be there. But what advantage did the serpent have? He was a creature who was close to. Close to a human being. But not a human being. In these last days, saints, you'll be tested of your faith. Not the way Noah was tested, no. As we move on in time, sin has also become very sophisticated. It will come very close to a thing which is legitimate. Let me ask you something. A phone is important, right? Facebook is good, right?
Facebook si nzuri.
It's good for communication, not so.
Yes.
But do you realize when you go on Facebook, as you scroll, are you going to be seeing the content you want to see? There will be a compromised image of a woman who is exposed and what has happened? A wrong thing has become fed into the thing you want to do to communicate. The wrong thing, nudity, profanity, has become interwoven with certain essential tools you want to use on the phone. And everything is really closing in. It comes to a point where the power to make a decision is really within you.
Yes.
A long time ago, you will be deterred from such behavior because you are afraid of stones. But today you've been given so much power through private space. Two people can be married, but the man has a little window to a very corrupt world through the phone. He can even put a password on the phone. If you are couples and both of you have passwords and one can't handle the other phone, please, you need to be born again, including your phones need to be born again. Why are you putting a password? Why can't your wife handle your phone? What's the problem? This can help you, or it's a doorway to hell. There are certain marriage problems which can easily be solved by properly handling this thing. WhatsApp. Through the night, a person is married in deep conversations with another woman. On Sunday service, he abides. He abides. Hallelujah. Now, you need to use WhatsApp. It helps us to communicate. It helps us to listen to sermons. But if your mind is loose, the devil will woo it with the thing which is not supposed to be there. Education. It's important for our children to go and learn in schools. What has the enemy done? He has interwoven the curriculum with certain poisonous things in there. There's now what they call comprehensive sexual education. And I know it's worldwide. Because in Zambia it came, it was heavily debated on, the church said we don't want it. And I knew foreign powers were behind it. And they thought they had managed. Now I'm in the education system. Before I realized, it was introduced in a clever way. They didn't bring it as a subject, as a course, as a standalone thing the way they wanted. But they took one topic, threw it in one subject. One topic, threw it in another subject. One day, I wanted to help my seventh grade child with homework. I look at the topic they're learning. I said, wow. So this thing has rolled out. That's where our world is heading to. Ed is being attached to LGBT stuff. Do you know that? Think of it. What reasonable explanation is there to justify why this thing has become very important? Why is it a top agenda? It has been interwoven in different courses. The other day, I enrolled in a course. A course which is supposed to be very expensive. But it's a scholarship. And it was at postgraduate level. So I was excited. Wow, let me do this course. An American course, you know. Said, well, it would be very expensive for me to pay this, but they've given me 100% scholarship. I rejoiced. This is good. As I started doing the course, there is a course in there. It talks about how you need to accept different cultural orientations. Now, every course has an element which says In your workplace, you are supposed to accept people who are LGBT. You are supposed to accept, you know, you need to be open-minded.
Wow.
So that's how far they can go. They can throw it in through scholarships.
Eh?
To sell their language and belief system. In education, children now are taught to question the existence of God. Evolution started as a simple thing. It's now a major, I don't quote a theory or scientific word, it's a major doctrine in the scientific community. One day, my fourth grade boy, he said, Daddy, we were learning at school, and our teacher told us, science is greater than God. God is just a religious belief. I realized the Bible says knowledge shall increase in the last days, both in the world, both spiritually. So when we have Sunday school in the church, the world is busy 24/7 feeding garbage in the minds of the children. What do we teach them in Sunday school? When we realized that, we developed a very comprehensive curriculum at our church for Sunday school. You can no longer just teach children. You give them papers and Noah's Ark to paint Noah's Ark. Knowledge has increased. Teach them the real word of God even in Sunday school.
Yes.
In Lusaka, when we started teaching the children Sunday school, in Sunday school we teach them apologetics. We teach them Bible theory. We teach them morality. The books we give them to read, they are already informed before they go out there in the world. Apologetics, this is a field which tells believers why they believe what they believe, why we believe there is God. When it's time to pray and fast, we don't spare children. They need to participate. Why? There's a disconnect which will be there if you're not careful. You think they're in the faith, but you don't know what houses their minds when they go out there. Another thing which has woven itself is music. The devil's message is in music now. It may not be a message in words. It could be through a beat. You know there is musical beat. It is designed for you to be irreverent. It is designed to take away any character of reverence in you. You've heard of hip hop?
Huh?
Well, you know, you express your music, not in a reverent or respectful way. It's about how, you know, you are powerful. It's in an American way. You see young men saying, yo, you know. You have it here.
Ni midundo ya jinsi ya kujionyesha kiburi na jinsi ulivyo wewe ni mkuu na kusema yo na vile unafanyia vidole hivyo.
The Lord is the Savior, yo man.
Bwana ni mwokozi.
And you think that is gospel simply because there is the word the Lord in there? You need to ask yourself, what is this? What is this thing of moving with a spring? What is that? It has a history. It's worship of the flesh. I am powerful. You know, I'm on top of the world. That's the message it has. Children of God are meek. The rejoicing of a child of God. I mean, we praise, we worship God with noise. But we have the spiritual discernment to know that this is truly the Spirit rejoicing. But what has happened? The devil has simply removed the devilish words and adds hallelujah to the music.
And
a little ingredient of the name Jesus to it. So that when a brother is driving as he's going for work, the beat, the rhythm, everything is worldly. But you know what comforts him? Hallelujah. There's hallelujah in it. What has the devil done? He has interwoven it. He has brought the poison but has given it a very good coloring. One day, young men came to paint Brother Branham's house. And they were playing boogie woogie music. Brother Branham quickly came out and says, "Hey, you boys, either you shut off that music or you pack and go." As a believer, have the discernment to know when your territory has been invaded. There are things, never tolerate them in your space. There are spirits behind them. The music corner, our young people who are playing music. Let them be controlled by someone elderly to check what is going on. Back in Lusaka, when we were having a wedding, when they choose the song list, it has to be vetted by a team of elders. Every song, they have to go through it. If we can't sing a song in church, why should we sing it at the wedding?
That's right.
It should not.
But a lot of compromise. If God opens your eyes, you will see the spirits which are influencing the music industry. Let's not let down the guard. You see, the devil won't come bare to us. He won't come with a long tail. He will come with something which is close, which speaks our language. When we hear it, we say, no, it's gospel. No, they are also believers. Are they? See the spirit.
That's right.
What does the spirit hunger for? What does it yearn for? Brethren, in the name of the Lord, let us go back to the old paths. Because the enemy is compromising everything. God has given us the living waters. Don't put some coloring in it. Don't make it look like it's cola, Coca-Cola, or anything like that. Let it be pure water. Yes, there are some contemporary music which are good to listen to. There are some Pentecostals, they still have some spirituality to them. But much of them are compromised. You know what will help you? Sing as many hymns as you can. Because they still have a message in them.
Amen.
You look at Hillsong. You know the Hillsong you have today is not the same Hillsong which was there many years ago. There was a time when they had some semblance of spirituality. Today they have rock and roll. It's a wrong spirit altogether. You look at believers who've gone so much into this Hillsong thing. Before you realize it, it's a believer, but he has a table cut. Just watch. Look at what they are watching. You see why this transformation of behavior. I love the old time gospel. Now look. Look what the devil did. Eve was supposed to be married to one husband. What did the devil do? Created an environment. Wrong conversation started with a serpent. And you know the original sin. Eve ended up meeting with a serpent. Did you say snake? Nyoka? What is that?
Yeah, snake.
Please, just quite serpent. Just quite serpent. If Swahili, you have poverty of language there. Please, just use serpent. At least for that moment, I knew that Swahili is wrong there. First Corinthians 15. Something I want to show you. First Corinthians 15, verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body.
Lakini Mungu huipa mwili kama apendavyo, na kila mbegu mwili wake.
A serpent had a body of its own. It had its own kind. When God presented all the animals before Adam, he looked at the serpent. He called it serpent.
Joker.
Later on, Adam sleeps. There was one more thing he had not yet named. God did not go to the ground and create Eve. He took her out of Adam. Another emphasis to show that I have to make something of your kind. When he wakes up, that's the first thing he speaks. She has been taken from me. In other words, she is my kind. The instruction was sealed in the mind of a man. The devil did not give up. Comes through the woman. What does he do? What is the devil doing? He wants to mix two kinds of things. After the sin, what happened? Eve has two husbands.
Yes.
You see, the word of God says, you become one flesh with that you are joined to. The scripture we first read, do you remember? 1 Corinthians 6:16. Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is what? One body. For two saith he shall be one flesh. When the serpent copulated with Eve, she became one flesh with the serpent. Adam knew this is the end of his woman. He did something which like gave God a checkmate. He also went into Eve to identify with her sin. That was the great tragedy in the Garden of Eden. It was a great tragedy. If a person who was supposed to be an object through which sons of God would be multiplied, became one flesh with the serpent, became one flesh with Adam. I can see the devil laughing. What will God do here? Because you can't just say God will punish the serpent by giving it some strokes, whipping it. That was bad for the world. Even if the serpent would have continued with his serpent wife, it would have left a bad memory on earth. And remember, there won't be another woman for Adam. If God destroys Eve, there won't be another woman for Adam. There was only that particular woman meant for Adam. Well, today, if a partner dies, one can marry another woman. That's God's permissive will. This is after the fall. But in the plan of God, there was only Eve to fit Adam.
Lakini katika mpango wa Mungu kulikuwa na Hawa mmoja pekee ambaye angemweze angemtosheleza Adam.
God won't make another human being from the ground.
Mungu hataumba mwanadamu mwingine kutoka kwenye ardhi.
What does God do?
Kwa hivyo Mungu anafanya nini?
Have you ever wondered why the Eve was punished the way it was punished? I mean, the serpent was punished the way it was punished?
Ushawahi kujiuliza kwa nini serpent ali
Do you realize in the whole Bible there is no such a judgment? In the Bible, God has judged people by killing them. Doing all terrible things on them. But at no time did he change one kind of a thing into another kind. That was a special judgment. For what reason? To save the status of Eve. So that she goes back to become a wife of one husband. What did God do? What will he do? He has to wipe out the serpent kind. Completely obliterate it. What does God do? He turns the serpent to become a snake. To reverse and wipe out whatever had happened. So that Eve goes back to becoming a wife of one husband. The serpent kind completely wiped out. You can never checkmate God. He always has a way to restore things the way they were. To this day, we don't know who the serpent, scientists have tried to imagine it's a missing link. But damage was done.
Lakini uharibifu uliko umefanyika.
The whole human race
sasa bari yote ya mwanadamu
was in iniquity, born and shaped in iniquity.
Ilikuwa katika uovu, inachukuliwa mimba na kuzaliwa katika dhambi.
Science tells us our blood, our genes.
Ya science inatuambia kwamba damu yetu na chembe zetu.
It's not clean.
Sio safi.
You know, I was reading what these historians discovered. They said they've discovered the evidence that at one point Neanderthals had crossbred with human beings.
Na nilisoma pale ambapo hao wanahistoria wanasema ati waligundua kwamba kuna wakati ambapo hao watu ambao wanaitwa Neanderthals walizaa na wanadamu.
Theologians are still trying very hard to see how to reconcile that with their theologies.
Na watu wanatheolojia wanajaribu sana kuona jinsi hiyo inaweza kaingiana na mafunzo yao.
If we can go to the Bible,
lakini tukirudi kwa Biblia,
we will know clearly what is the missing link.
Tutajua kwa wazi nini ndio hiyo pengo.
But all humanity, we became corrupt.
Lakini sasa bali yote ya mwanadamu ikachafuka.
We can't be pure sons of God.
Hatuwezi tukafanyika wana safi wa Mungu.
And now by faith we say the spirit of God in me makes me a son of God.
Lakini sasa kwa imani tunasema roho wa Mungu ndani yangu hunifanya niwe mwana wa Mungu.
However,
hata hivyo,
there has to come a time when we need to be the way Jesus was exactly. Let us close with this scripture of Apostle John. 1 John 3 verse 2.
Mtume Yohana wa kwanza 3:2.
Today, yes, we say we are born again. We are filled with the Spirit. But a time will come when we are completely filled with the Spirit that even our bodies will have to be like Jesus. As you stand up, shall we read this with all the energy we have in us? 1 John 3 verse 2.
Johanna,
1 John 3, verse 2. Are you ready? Let's read. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. You see that? What we've read here. It's not only us who are waiting for that. The whole creation They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. A replica of who Jesus Christ was.
Amen.
Because when that happens, listen to this, when that happens, it means human beings will become in the same continuity like all other creation. We started our convention by saying everything in nature, water,
maji,
plants,
mimea,
everything, they don't have free will. If God had created everything in nature without making a human being, the earth would have still been peaceful to this day. But by throwing in a component of free will in human beings, it set everything out of balance. Because he introduced a component which could think and had the freedom to rebel against God. But this will be the completion of God's project. When these human beings who are born again reach perfection, they come to the knowledge that our free will was meant to be ruled by the perfect will of God. It means all that God is would have filled all that God has created. 1 Corinthians 15. It's the last of the last verses now. It's the last one. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Shall we all read? Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Now hear me. This is at the end of the millennium. When everything has been destroyed, including the devil has been wiped out. It means even the natural people who populated the world in the millennium, they would have come to a state of perfection. Even them, they've learned how to walk in the perfect will of God. When all that is done, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Let's read verse 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. Meaning he still has a higher level, which did put all things under him. And when how many things? And when?
All.
Verse 28, and when?
All.
Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
Basi vitu vyote vishikisha kutiishwa chini yake, ndipo mwana mwenyewe naye atatiishwa chini yake yeye aliyemtiishia vitu vyote, ili kwamba Mungu awe yote katika wote.
All that God is,
yote ambayo Mungu aliyo,
his will,
mapenzi yake,
his desires,
yale anataka,
will fill everything.
Itajaa ndani ya kila kitu.
That spells perfection.
Na hiyo inataja ukamilifu.
Then the world will be ready for eternity.
Na sasa wakati huo ulimwengu utakuwa umekuwa tayari kwa ajili ya umilele.
Remember when man sinned?
Kumbuka wakati mwanadamu alianguka.
God said, "Hey, let's not allow him to eat of the let him not partake of eternity."
Mungu akasema, tumkomeshe asiweze kuingia katika umilele katika hii hali.
If a wrong thing is given eternity, it will be in that state without any chance for taking it back.
Kitu kikienda makosa na kiingia umilele, kitabaki katika makosa bila kukua na fursa yoyote ya kuirejesha.
Time allows change.
Lakini muda inaruhusu mabadiliko.
In eternity there is no potentiality for another Lucifer to rise.
Katika umilele hakuna uwezekano wa Lucifer mwingine kuinuka.
Why?
Kwa nini?
God is all in all.
Kwa Mungu ni yote ndani ya yote.
He would have fulfilled all he desired from eternity past.
Atakuwa ametimiza yote ambayo alitaka kutoka umilele uliopita.
In eternity past,
katika umilele uliopita,
there is God.
Kuna Mungu.
With his thoughts.
Na mawazo yake.
In that state,
katika hali hiyo,
there is potential for evil, there is potential for good.
Kuna uwezekano wa maovu, kuna uwezekano wa mema.
It's only a potential.
Lakini ni uwezekano tu.
How do we get rid of the evil?
Mbona tutawezaje kutoa hii ovu?
God creates time.
Mungu akaumba wakati.
To do what?
Afanye nini?
For good to take a form, manifest.
Ili wema uchukue umbo na udhihirike.
The potential evil also to take form and manifest.
Ili pia hiyo uwezekano wa uovu uchukue umbo na udhihirike.
So these which are potentialities, good and evil.
Kwa hivyo hii ambayo ni kuwezekana, ambayo ni wema na mabaya.
In time they manifest.
Katika muda zinadhihirika.
What's the objective?
Lakini lengo ni nini?
For the good to continue.
Ili wema uendelee.
For evil to be destroyed and annihilated.
Uovu uharibiwe.
But good and evil can only be so if they manifest through entities which have choice.
Lakini wema na mabaya lazima tuziwe hivyo zikidhihirishwa kwa viumbe wenye hiari.
But God is just, he can't just say, you are evil, I'll burn you in hell. No.
Lakini Mungu ni mwenye haki, hawezi tu akasema kuchagua na kusema wewe ni mwovu, uwe mwovu nitakuchoma jana.
It is an entity itself to choose me. I've chosen the goodness of God in me.
Ni kiume mwenyewe kuamua na kuchagua na kusema mimi nimechagua wema wa Bwana.
If you choose good,
ukichagua wema,
it means you've chosen eternity.
Inamaanisha umechagua milele.
The purpose of God is not to destroy a human being.
Kusudi la Mungu sio kuharibu,
but to destroy evil.
Lakini
so he already wants. He already wants. My purpose is to destroy evil. You choose evil. A person who chooses good has eternal life. A person who chooses evil, when God destroys evil, you also become annihilated with evil. When that happens, even those who were in hell, they'll burn and burn and burn until they burn up.
Watachomeka na kuchomeka hadi wateketee.
Why burning them?
Mbona kuwachoma?
The life which was put in them still belongs to God.
Ile uzima iliyoko ndani yao bado ni ya Mungu.
Fire is for cleansing.
Iyo moto ni ya kutakasa.
That life which was interwoven with the soul of man.
Iyo uzima ambaye ilikuwa imeshikanishwa na nafsi ya mwanadamu.
There has to be a cleansing process until it moves out and goes back to the creator.
Lazima
in its pure state.
Itakasike iwe safi ili irudi kwa muumba ikiwa katika hali yake safi.
When all life,
wakati uzima wote,
including the life in the devil,
hata ile uhai yenye shetani,
the spirit of life in Satan belongs to God.
Hata ile roho ya uhai yenye shetani,
nothing can have life without the spirit of God.
Hakuna chochote kinachoweza kuwa hai.
So the very power that makes Lucifer breathe, that life, it comes from the creator.
Na kwa hivyo uwezekano wa Lucifer mwenyewe kupumua, hiyo uhai inatoka kwa Mungu.
When he burns up,
hata akichomeka,
the spirit of life,
hiyo roho ya uhai,
goes back to God.
Inarudi kwa Mungu.
And whatever makes Lucifer to be Lucifer, his ability to think,
Na kile ambacho kinafanya Lucifer awe Lucifer, ile uwezo wake wa kufikiria.
All that consciousness and thought structure will collapse into nothingness.
Hiyo dhamira na mawazo yake ya kufikiria yote yatatokomea yawe patupu.
The soul of man.
Na, nafsi ya mwanadamu.
Once it burns completely in hell,
wakati inapochomeka ikateketea jehanamu,
it will burn up, life will go back to God, and the whole thought structure consciousness will collapse into nothingness.
Itachomeka na uzima utarudi kwa Mungu, alafu hii dhamira na mawazo na hiyo kujitambua yote itatokomea iwe bure.
That is what we call the second death.
Na hiyo ndio tunaita mauti ya pili.
First death,
mauti ya kwanza,
the soul,
nafsi,
with the life in it,
na maisha iliyo ndani yake,
is separated from the body.
Inatenganishwa na mwili.
Don't be afraid of that.
Hiyo usiogope.
A human's word,
upanga wa kibinadamu,
can separate the soul and the body.
Inaweza kutenganisha nafsi kutokana na mwili.
If I take a pistol, I shoot you,
nikichukua bastola nikufyatulie risasi,
I would have managed to separate your soul from your body.
Nitakuwa tu nimeweza kutenganisha nafsi yako itoke kwa mwili.
But although the soul has come out of the body,
lakini hata ingawa nafsi imetoka kwa mwili,
it still exists.
Bado ingali ipo.
Because it has the spirit of life in it.
Kwa sababu ndani yake iko na roho ya uhai.
But the word of God says in Hebrews,
lakini neno la Mungu linasema katika Waebrania,
God's word is powerful.
Ya kwamba upanga wa Mungu una nguvu.
It separates the soul and life.
Inatenganisha hiyo nafsi na uzima.
Jesus says, fear God.
Na Yesu anasema muogope.
Because he is able to kill both the body and the soul.
Kwa maana yeye anaweza akaua mwili na akaua nafsi.
So what's the second death?
Kwa hivyo kifo cha pili, mauti.
It's the separation of the spirit of life from the soul.
Ni kutenganisha ile roho ya uhai kutokana na nafsi.
That's a deadly loss.
Na hiyo ni kupoteza kwa huzuni.
Imagine having lived your life 50 years, 60 years, 70 years and you end up going into non-existence.
Na yani wazia umeishi maisha yako miaka 50, 60, alafu unaenda unakuwa bure.
What is God doing?
Mungu anafanya nini?
He only wants good in eternity.
Yeye anataka kilicho chema tu pekee kule katika umilele.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Do you want to be in eternity? There's only one secret.
Kuna siri moja tu.
No.
You
are not your own. Allow the life of God to live through you. You are espoused to one husband. Anything which pretends to take your time, to take your love, to take your... it's a second husband.
Chochote kile ambacho kinakuja kukudanganya ili ichukue muda wako, ichukue mali yako na ichukue mambo yako, hiyo inajaribu kuwa mume wa pili.
Let's be married to one husband.
Hebu tukaozwe kwa mume mmoja.
Shall we close our eyes?
Tufunge macho.
Do not harden your heart after hearing the word.
Usifanye moyo wako mgumu baada ya kusikia neno.
What we are speaking of is a very simple thing.
Kile ambacho tunanena ni jambo rahisi.
It's not of your work.
Si kuhusiana na juhudi zako.
If you are sincere,
kama wewe ni mnyofu,
you can tell him, Lord, teach me how to surrender.
Unaweza kumwambia Bwana nifundishe jinsi ya kujitoa.
But the devil always makes you afraid.
Lakini shetani kila wakati kufanya uogope.
To think, oh, following the will of God, you won't enjoy life. That's a lie of Satan. Every time you follow the leading of the Lord, you realize actually there's greater joy in that. There's great joy. There's great peace. God will give you such an abundant love for everyone. May God help us. Heavenly Father, go ahead and pray the way the Spirit leads you. Be merciful, Lord, unto us. We invite your Spirit in our lives to take control, to rule us. We surrender our hearts that you may reign, you may rule. We desire to be one with you. For we are espoused to one husband. Granted, Heavenly Father. I pray for every young person here. We are living in perilous times. But give strength unto every young brother, every young sister, that our hearts may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Grant your victory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your mercies today. As we come to the end of these meetings, help us, Lord, to walk with you with consistency. Fully yielded and surrendered. May everyone learn the joy that is in walking with you. Our own walk will always lead to heartaches. Disappointments. But yet your arms are wide open. Like the father of that prodigal son. The prodigal son had chosen his will, his choice. But it wasn't long before he found himself on the deep end of life. But when he made his decision to go back, the arms of the father were wide open, waiting to receive him. I pray for that brother who's backslidden. Let them come back home in the name of Jesus. I pray for that sister who's lost faith and she's backslidden. Let your love draw them back, Lord. We thank you. We bless your name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a mighty hand. May the Lord richly bless you. We'll be going back to Zambia Thursday. Our flight will be early in the morning. Actually, we'll have to start off to the airport, I think, at midnight, somewhere there. So really, our last day will be Wednesday. Thank you so much for all your love. I want to thank all the sisters who've been doing the cooking. The Lord sees every effort, no matter how it's in the background. I would like to thank our pastor, Brother Kimaru, for welcoming us and sharing what the Lord has put in our hearts. I really never thought I would be in Kenya so soon again. It wasn't really on my mind. But well, the Lord brought us together. We may separate physically, but we are one in spirit. So may the Lord bless the pastor and his family. The Lord bless all the other team of ministers. Brother Kimani, Brother Silas, all the servants of God. And not forgetting my mom there, Sister Kiari and Brother Kiari. I'm really beginning to enjoy the company of Brother Kiari. getting to be friends. And I wish we could stay on more. But in eternity, we won't have such kind of we fellowship. Tomorrow, we are not together. So let's aim for eternity. May I see the hands of those who are on daily devotion? Please, if you're not on daily devotion, get on daily devotion. It's a platform where different preachers are blessing us with wonderful messages. Pastor Silas has ministered on daily devotion. Pastor Kimani. So,
Felix.
Be on that platform.
Kwa hivyo ukue katika hiyo jukwaa.
May the Lord richly bless all of us.
Bwana abariki kila mmoja wetu.
All right, I'm told Brother Felix was requesting for. Oh yes, he actually told me that yesterday. Brother Felix with his family desire for us to pray for them.
Ndugu Felix na jamii yake wangependa tuombe.
I'll invite them to come.
Nitawaalika waje.
the family of Brother Felix, you can just come forward. We request you to just kneel down as we pray for you. Praise the Lord. Joshua had said, as for me and my family, I choose to serve the Lord. God blessed him for that. And God is still blessing people who make the same decision. Heavenly Father, whatever desire is in the heart of Brother Felix to request for this prayer, may you grant him his heart's desire. We pray for your blessing upon him, upon the sister, upon the children, in the name of Jesus. Lord, may you put a wall of fire around them, that no forces of darkness shall tamper with. May you bless this family in their going out. May you bless this family in their coming in. May you bless the work of the hands of their children, that it shall be a blessing to the parents. Bless them, Lord. Above all, that you put a spiritual revival in their hearts that shall make them a testimony to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we ask this blessing upon them. Amen. God bless.